Now, if you have your Bible with you, you may care to have open the chapter that we read in the letter of James, and chapter 4. Last week we looked at the first 10 verses, where James is really following on from chapter 3 and the issue of the tongue, how we use the tongue, how the tongue can be abused. The dangers of the tongue: by our speech we can inflame passions and cause all sorts of problems. We can speak untruths. We can defame people. We can slander people. There is that well-known saying, "And sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me." Well, we might say that we know it's not true. Words can be very hurtful. They can cause great pain and distress, and they can cause wars. And that's the sort of thing that James is speaking about at the beginning of chapter 4, that there were dissensions within churches. You had people like Diotrephes, that John refers to in John 3, people who set themselves up as being something special and saying, "Look, you've got to do what I tell you to do." And so you get conflicts and divisions within churches. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we read about divisions within the church at Corinth. "I belong to Paul. I belong to Apollos. I belong to Peter. I belong to Christ." And there's a conflict within the church. People are at each other's throats. People are saying, "I'm better than you are because I follow Paul, Peter, or whoever." And people are lacking in humility. And because they lack humility, because they covet, they war amongst themselves, there is discord within the church. And so James is spelling out for them, in words of one syllable almost, where so often people go wrong. And what the problem so often is, the problem is pride in the heart, thinking I'm better than other people are. But he quotes the scripture, "God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." And so therefore we must humble ourselves. We must submit. We must acknowledge that we are the lowest of the low. We must consider all other people better than we are. And in so doing, we must submit ourselves to God. But the devil is always there seeking to stir up pride within us. The devil comes and whispers in our ear, "But of course you're special. You're different. You're not like all the others. Why should the rules that apply to everybody else apply to you? So go and assert yourself. Tell everybody how wonderful you are." And stir up lots of dissension. But you're not better than others. You are not unique in that sense. You are a sinner. And so therefore, you should acknowledge your sin. Cease to be proud and humble yourself before God. And in so doing, you resist the devil. And if you persist in your resistance, the devil will flee from you. Much better to be humble. If you are humble, God will exalt you. But it is God who will exalt you. It is not self-exaltation. "Look at me, aren't I wonderful? Look at all the things I've done." No, says James, that's for God to do. And God will do it in the appropriate way, in his good time. Humble yourselves, therefore. Well, this morning we're going to consider the next two verses, verse 11 and verse 12, which is really continuing on from what he was saying previously, and it's continuing on from dealing with the tongue. This is really all one section, and all these issues merge together. "Do not speak evil against one another, brothers." You could also read this translate it, do not slander one another, brothers. For the one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbour? So do not slander one another. Do not speak evil of. Do not spread untruths about another. You'll find references to slander in Romans 1:30. Those who have been given up by God in their wickedness become slanderers, amongst other things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20, there is reference to slander. And just, at least in my Bible, no, it's not over the page, it's over the next page, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Do not speak evil of others. Do not misrepresent others. Speak the truth about others. Because as soon as we speak evils, as soon as we speak untruths, we are being like the devil. We are saying what the devil wants. The devil is a liar. The devil is a slanderer. The Greek word for devil, diabolos, has as one of its meanings slanderer. The devil speaks that which is not true, right back at the beginning. He says to Eve, if you eat of the fruit, remember, fruit, not apple, if you eat of the fruit from that tree, you will not die. What happened to Eve? She died. He lied. He cast aspersions upon God's character. God doesn't want you to have something that's good. God's holding things back from you. God's being mean and unkind. That was not true. That was slander. He's been a liar, a slanderer from the beginning. And all those who walk in the ways of the devil are like him in spreading lies in all manner of ways. Now, James says here, the one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. Now, how has he made this jump? That if you speak evil against a brother, you're judging the law. You're speaking evil against the law. Well, I'm sure you all think that this is my most favourite verse in the whole of the Bible. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 19. You would be wrong, but it's actually not verse 19 we're looking at, it's verse 18. Just to remind you, verse 19 says, you shall not wear clothing made from two kinds of material. We're looking at the previous verse. And I am wearing today a Marks and Spencer's polyester and cotton shirt. So I am in violation of verse 19. Question is, does that still apply after the death of Christ? The answer is no. We're looking at verse 18. And in verse 18, it says, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus was asked in Matthew 22, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said, the greatest commandment is this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. From Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. not one of the Ten Commandments. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. He's quoting this verse, Leviticus 19, verse 18. Loving your neighbour as yourself is what we are told to do. It does not say, make sure you love yourself first before you love your neighbour. Because God assumes, sinners as we are, we already love ourselves too much. This is a common heresy. We are told, quoting this verse or quoting the verse in Matthew, if we're to love our neighbours as ourselves, if we're going to love them properly, we've got to love ourselves first. No, we love ourselves too much already. Let's love our neighbours as much as we love ourselves. So it doesn't say first love yourself, it says love your neighbour as much as you already love yourself. It doesn't say love your neighbour as yourself as soon as he loves you as he loves himself. I was told many years ago when quoting the verse from Ephesians 5, wives submit to your husbands, I was told, read your own mail. So it's no good banging on to your wife saying, you've got to submit to me. Because that's not written to husbands, that's written to wives. What I should be reading is, husbands, love your wives. And it's not for me to go round saying to someone else, you don't love me enough. You've got to love me more. You've got to love me as much as you love yourself. No. You've got to read it as it says, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. As you read it, it's talking about me. So instead of going around telling other people what they should do, I should be doing this. And isn't this what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7? In Matthew chapter 7, and it's a much misunderstood verse, or set of verses. In Matthew chapter 7, at the beginning, and people love to quote this, judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce you will be judged, and with the measure you use it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first, this is what you do first. First, take the log out of your own eye. Then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. He doesn't say don't do it at all. He says examine yourself first. Deal with yourself first. Sort yourself out first. And once you're sorted out, probably you won't be bothered about the speck that is in your brother's eye. But when we slander other people, when we speak evil against them, we are saying, no, I know it says love your neighbour as yourself, but in this case, I can speak evil of them, I can judge them, I can slander them, because of whatever reason you happen to come up with. And so you are saying that part of God's word is not relevant to me. I am more important than what God has said. You are judging God's word. You are judging God's law. Now I said, verse 19, the one that follows on in Leviticus 19, no longer applies. I can show you from the scriptures why that is the case. There we have covenantal law. It's law that applied to those who were under that covenant, the Mosaic covenant, which went from Sinai to the death of Christ. But that covenant, we're told at the end of Hebrews chapter 8, is obsolete and passing away. And it finally passed away with the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem in AD 70. So the scriptures tell us that covenantal law no longer applies to us. That's what the scriptures tell us. But the scriptures tell us that verse 18 is not covenantal law, it is eternal law. So we cannot say that that has gone, that continues. So we have the covenantal law for the Jews, that's gone. But that which is eternal continues from the beginning to the end. It's never set aside. And it's summarized by those two commandments, love God, love your neighbor. And if you love God and don't love your neighbor, you're not loving God. And there are people running around saying, well, I don't believe in God, but I love my neighbor. You can't really love your neighbor if you don't believe in God, if you don't submit to God. You can't really love your neighbor if you're not converted, because you don't understand who you are. You don't understand who they are. You don't understand what their greatest needs are. And so you can't show them the love they need, because what they need above all else is the gospel. And you're not loving someone if you don't communicate in some way, somehow, the gospel to them. That is the primary way in which you show love to someone. You explain the gospel to them. That's not the only thing you do. That's the most important thing that you do. But as soon as we start slandering people, we say that our obligation to obey God's law, to love our neighbour as ourselves, that's been put aside in this case because I've decided I'm more important than God is. Which is silly. If you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of the law. But there is only one lawgiver and only one judge. It is God who determines what is true. It is God who determines what is right and wrong. It is not for us to say, oh, but God got it wrong. It is for us to be humble and submit to what God has said. But too often, we try and make God conform to our way of thinking. I've mentioned before, there is a danger of confessions of faith. Because what people have said in the past might, to a large degree, be very good, but they have their own ideas. And some people try and continue to impose them upon us, whereas I can say concerning various confessions of faith, but the Bible says otherwise. I'm not going to submit to your confession of faith because the Bible says otherwise. I'm going to follow what the Bible says. You show me from the Bible that that confession of faith is correct, I'll believe it. But I don't believe there's any confession of faith that is infallible, because they are all the products of men. It's the Bible that is true. We have to evaluate everything by what the scriptures say. And no matter how wonderful you might think any confession of faith is, no matter how wonderful you might think any preacher is, and so that means also no matter how wonderful any of you think I am, or not, as the case may be, everything comes back to what the scriptures teach, is what anyone else is saying what this book says. This is the truth. If we say other than what the scriptures teach, we are slanderers. We are not loving God if we say what the Bible says is wrong. If we slander people, we are not loving our neighbour as ourselves. We've set ourselves up as a judge. But there's only one lawgiver. Only one judge, and he's the only one who can save from sin, but he can also destroy. Who are you to judge your neighbour? Now, in saying who are you to judge your neighbour, James is not saying, and neither is Jesus saying when he says, judge not that you be not judged, don't judge. He's talking about how you judge. Remember back in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, because the way you judge is the way you yourself will be judged. It will rebound against you. Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. If you say, this is wrong, and then you do it, you're self-condemned. Read Romans chapter 2. This is exactly what Paul says in Romans chapter 2. When he's dealing with the moralist, therefore you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. As soon as you pass judgment on someone else, you set a standard, and if you break that standard that you've set, you're condemned by yourself. And Paul is saying in Romans chapter 2, you don't need the law of God to be condemned. The law of God condemns you, but you don't need the law of God to condemn you, because you condemn yourself. And your standards, your law, is lower than God's is. So just look at yourselves. Let your conscience speak, and you'll see that you're condemned by your own standards. Right, now you see you're condemned by your own standards. Now let's move on to God's law. Let's see what God says, and look, God's standards are higher. You're even more condemned. And so we should take great care in how we judge. But we are not to slander, we are to judge accurately. Jesus isn't giving a blanket ban on all judgment. Otherwise he's being very inconsistent in verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravenous wolves. Here are the signs to look for with false prophets. You need to make a judgment as to whether people are false prophets or not. Here are the tests you can apply. Other parts of Scripture give other tests to look for, to discern those who are false prophets. Jesus cannot be saying, don't judge at all, and then a few verses later say, but you've got to judge. The beginning of chapter 7 in Matthew, he's saying, don't slander. Don't set yourself up as judge. Don't set yourself up as lawgiver. Don't be judgmental, because however you judge others, that's how you'll be judged. Sort yourself out first, he says, then you can judge others aright. And then, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we read about Paul advising about judgment, how to judge truly and rightly. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 3. For though absent in body, I am present in spirit, and as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. On the one who did what? On the one who has committed an immoral act and is living in immorality. The scriptures condemn such behaviour, and I am merely saying this is what scripture says, therefore this man must be excluded. And then in chapter 6, Paul says, when one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Believers are going to judge the world. And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Do you not know that we are to judge angels? How much more then matters pertaining to this life? Paul is saying we are judges. But we are to judge truly, honestly, justly. Not like those who say, I am the one who determines what is true, and therefore you've broken the law that I've determined. No, we are to humbly say, we're all sinners, but on this point you've broken God's law. It's a completely different approach. We're not being slanderous. We are being truthful. And so we make judgments. When, as a church, we decide to admit people into membership, we make a judgment as to whether we believe they're Christians or not. When we dismiss people from church membership, we pass a judgment. Because we think, as in the case of 1 Corinthians 5, there is reason for such a person to be put out of the church. We make judgments when we preach the gospel. This person is unconverted, they need to hear the gospel. We make a judgment. We make judgments when we consider whether something is moral or not. There is a difference between false judgment and right judgment. Jesus and James are speaking against wrong judgment. We are to judge rightly. But in order to judge rightly, we must first, as he says in the previous verse, in verse 10, humble yourselves. If we are not humble, if we are proud and arrogant and self-asserting, I'm the one who knows what is true above all others, listen to me, do what I tell you, then we are slandering, we are doing what the devil wants to do. Now there are innumerable ways in which we can apply this to ourselves. First one is to say to ourselves, am I loving my neighbour as myself? The answer is probably no. So there's something we need to work at. And it's hard work. You might have neighbours who aren't nice people to know. Doesn't mean you don't love them. We are naturally drawn towards certain kinds of people who are easy to love. But Jesus made clear that our neighbour is not just the ones we like. Our neighbour is everybody. So we need to work at that. We need to show love toward all men. We need to be sure that we speak the truth. We are not to be slanderers. It can be easy to slip into it when we make comments about certain people. We might use a shorthand. And some people understand what we mean, others might misunderstand. We have to be careful what we say in the company that we are in. Because you can easily say, use a word, use a phrase. Most people understand what you mean by that. Someone else might misunderstand. So you've got to be careful. You don't want to be a slanderer. You don't want to set yourself up and say, well, of course, I'm better than they are. None of us, I hope, say, well, I'm better than those people over there because, well, look at all the things they're doing. Rather, we should be saying, there but for the grace of God go I. If it wasn't for God's grace, I'd be like them, probably worse. So it's not me being better than them, it's God being a gracious, loving and kind God toward me. On the day of judgment, God is going to judge according to his law. Not my law, not your law, his law, found in the scriptures. He is the one who will pass judgment. And so therefore, knowing that God is the one who judges, we should keep a clear conscience with God. This might upset other people. But we should allow our consciences only to be dictated to by God's word, not by other people. Don't let someone, just because they are very persuasive, just because they have a loud voice, don't believe me just because I can raise my voice. If you believe me, I want you to believe me because I've said what the Bible says. If I don't say what the Bible says, you can ignore it. Don't be browbeaten into believing and doing certain things. Do them because you can do them with a clear conscience before God. Jesus was speaking to the apostles as he sent them out to preach the gospel in Matthew chapter 10. It's tempting to read the whole thing. We won't, we'll only read part of it in verse 16. Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. This is what you are to expect. You are to expect persecution. People will abuse you. People might even kill you. Verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. They're going to treat you like they treat me. Verse 26, so have no fear of them. Have no fear of any opposition at all. For nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. People are going to say to you, stop saying that, or I'll kill you. Believe this error, deny Christ, or I will kill you. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Just a quick aside, here is clear evidence that man is made up of body and soul. The so-called Jehovah's Witnesses don't like this verse, because it clearly communicates that fact. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him, fear God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Isn't that what James says? There is only one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and destroy. He is the judge. He is the one we answer to. And so we should live our lives in the light of this fact. We answer to God and to God alone. And so when we judge, we are to judge soberly and accurately, fairly, justly, based upon facts. We are also to examine ourselves, to examine our own hearts, to see what we are really like. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, examine your hearts to see whether you are in the faith. Look at yourself. It's one of those necessities. If you're going to judge others, first you must judge yourself. See whether you truly are a forgiven sinner. If you discover you are an unforgiven sinner, then the call of the gospel is the same as it is for everybody else. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are a forgiven sinner, be humble. Do not exalt yourself above others. Do not slander people. But rejoice that God has been gracious to you, has forgiven you for all your sins, and has given you the Holy Spirit in your heart as a guarantee to prepare you for that great day when we will meet with Christ in glory.